call them red meat.
He did, yeah. Had a nice day.
You were song. You've got a preacher now.
I am, yeah.
Why is he angry?
I do, because they're all so wicked.
That can talk.
We're all sinful and we don't do what we should do, and so he's angry with us. But angry doesn't mean that he doesn't love. Yeah, you can be angry with somebody because you love them. Yeah, if my kids are doing bad,
why my family?
If my kids are doing bad,
why my old
family? I'm angry with them, but it doesn't mean I don't love them. Yeah.
Do you believe in God?
Of course I do. That's what I'm doing here. I wouldn't be stood here preaching if I didn't. Of course I do.
Because so what's good for you?
He saved me. He forgave me all my sins. He brought me to know him, love him, with all my heart. He did that for me. He saved me from a life of drunkenness and debauchery.
Drunkenness?
Uh-huh.
And departing. That means you're separated from the
people
in the
Bible.
I am alcoholic,
see that? Yeah, I've been there, done that. You saved me from it.
But I've been saved from it. I'll
took it away, took the very desire for it away.
In what way?
In what way? Miraculously, supernaturally. Took the love of it out of my heart.
Just went.
Yes. Yep. Yes. Completely. Totally.
Totally. So you wake up to this different vision.
Yep. Absolutely.
And it takes some believing.
But there you go. What's your first name?
Lee.
I'm Jimmy. Lee. That's the. You've just nailed it. Believing. That's the problem. You believe in Jesus. You take Jesus to be your savior. And he'll deliver you from it. Make him yours by faith. You believe. He says, if you can believe, everything is possible to the one who believes. You believe Jesus. You believe Lee. He'll save you.
Well, I need Meg Rob because I'm homeless now. So certainly Meg Rob.
Right.
So we.
First things first. First things first. You get right with him, and he'll sort the rest out. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all the rest will be added unto you. Lee, I've been where you're at, and I tell you, there's a way out, and his name is Jesus. We're not talking religion, we're talking about a person, Jesus.
God is angry.
Call him.
Have
a read, will you? Yeah, okay. God bless you. God bless you, my man. So yeah, today, friends, share the gospel with you once again. Good news. Good news for sinners, you know, that a Saviour, Christ the Lord, Jesus, you believe in him, and you get what he promises salvation, and that salvation, faith and faith alone, in Christ alone, no other. If you'd like to have a copy of God's word, Lee just took one, and just talking to him about how that the Lord just saved and delivered me. And if he can deliver me, then he can deliver, I tell you, anybody. But those who call upon his name, those are the ones God says get saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We're not talking health, wealth, and prosperity. We're talking about salvation from a very real danger. That, of course, is our own sinful and unbelieving hearts. It's faith that's required of you. If you can believe, says Jesus, everything is possible to the one who believes. 42 years ago, age of 36, I became a Christian. Not something I did, something that Jesus Christ did for me. He came to me, he rescued me. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. That's what the Bible says about Jesus. and through the preaching of his word here today, may they, who knows, are here to save somebody in Hanley this afternoon. But the word of God, they say, is offered to you, the written word of God. If you'd like to have a copy, then feel free to come and ask for one. No cost and no obligation to you. You're simply and only for the taking. And maybe, who knows, if you read God's word, read about Jesus, his person, who he is, what he's like, and what he's done, and what he can do, even for a sinner like you. Who knows, maybe the light be switched on, maybe he reveal himself to you and bring you to a knowledge of his salvation. Oh, Andrew, you doing? So like I say, Andrew, a nice day, yeah? So like I say, friends, it's the word of God and it's offered to you. The problem, of course, that we have, you know, is a human race. It's all of us. You know, it's the way we come into the world, where God says we're conceived in sin, born in sin. It says here in the Old Testament, can two walk together except they be agreed? You know, how can you walk, how can a man or woman walk with God, you know, unless they be agreed? But here's the problem, you see, that we're not, because, you know, we are conceived in sin. The disease, you know, the poison of sin is passed on to us through natural generation, one generation after another. The first man, Adam, he sinned and brought sin and death into the world, and it's passed on generation after generation. Somebody asked the question some time ago now, why do people have to die? Good question, why? It's not natural. I mean, if it was a natural thing, we wouldn't be afraid of it. But we are. We are afraid of it. Because it is unnatural. God did not make man to die. Death came into the world by sin. Sin by one man, passed on to his posterity all the way down the line, right to this day, to the end of the age. But here's the thing, God has done something about it. God has given us, provided us with a remedy for sin, because it's the sin that causes the death. You have to treat the cause, not the effect. But this is what we do, isn't it? We're always looking to treat the effects, you know. I'm miserable, you know, make me happy, you know, give me something to make me happy. Without looking to the cause, the root cause, what causes the misery, what causes the pain, what causes the suffering, what causes the death. Sin, my friends, is the root of it. The wages of sin is death. You take sin away, you take the death away. You deal with the sin and you've got life. And that's what the gospel's about. It's not about religion. It's not about man-made religion like Islam, you know, or Roman Catholicism, or any of your cults and sects that fill your world today. It's about a person called Jesus, the Son of God, who became man, who lived and died on the cross, who suffered and bled and died in order that your sin might be dealt with, taken away, and given life. Life, life in the gospel, it's about life. I am the way, the truth, and the life, says Jesus. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Eternal, everlasting life, through faith in the Son of God. Whoever believes in Jesus gets life. Whoever believes in Jesus gets saved. You have to believe in him. That's how you get saved. That's how anybody gets saved. You believe in him totally. You believe in him absolutely. You take him, you make him your own by faith, and he saves you. He gives you what you don't have. He gives you life. Life for your death. He gives you salvation from your sin. He gives salvation. It's the gift of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, the free gift of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the question, can two walk together except to be agreed? No, they can't, as long as there's a separation, or there is. that separation is caused by sin. Alienated from God, separated from your best good, from your maker, from the one who gives you life, separated from God by your iniquities, by your sin, by your lawless deeds. We're conceived in sin, we're born in sin, we come into the world with sinful nature, and out of those sinful natures comes what? Nothing but sin. That's why we do the things that we do, even though we know that they're not right, not even fitting for animals to do, never mind human beings. We live in lawlessness. We come into the world with sinful natures that need to be changed. That's what causes the separation. God, he says he's of purer eyes than to behold evil, can't look upon us. He says our righteousness is, that's our very best effort. Our righteousness is, he says, are like filthy rags in his sight. Untouchable, can't look upon us, can't accept us. You're separated, alienated from him, from our best good, from the very overflowing fountain of all good. There's no good apart from God, no life apart from God, just existence, just a miserable, sinful existence, and doing those things that bring the misery to us. Separated from God, can't walk with God because don't agree with God. The sinful mind, the fallen mind is at enmity, hostile to God, he says, at war with your maker. That's not a fight you're going to win. Anybody's ever going to win. Because death comes and death will take you away. You'll breathe your last, you know. And after this, well, you know, your atheistic friends, you know, your godless friends will tell you, ah, well, that's it then. It's all over then, you know. Well, no, nobody really knows, you know, what happens after death. Nobody ever came back to tell us. They say, well, yes, they did one day. Jesus, he rose again from the dead, and he tells us in his word, he says, it's appointed unto man once to die. But after this, then comes the judgment. Then you stand before your maker, and you give account for that sinful nature that you inherited, and from all the sinful practice, all the iniquity, all the lawless living that comes out of those sinful natures. You get judged for them. Condemnation. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Those are the words that you will hear unless you believe. But whoever believes in Jesus gets saved. Whoever believes in Jesus, there's no condemnation for them. It's taken away. Why? Because Jesus made reconciliation a possibility to heal the separation, the breach between you and God, between you and your Maker, that you might be redeemed, bought back from sin. Separation, my friend, that's the problem. Can't walk with God, can't agree with God. Mind is hostile to God. That's why you come into the world a God-hater, the sum and substance of God's commandments. His Ten Commandments is what? That you should love God and love your neighbor. But you don't do either. Hate God. Hate God and hate your neighbor. Why is it? You know, in one breath you tell me, you know, that there is no God. You get angry, you rage about it. Well, if there is no God, if you really, honestly, truly believe that, then why would you get upset? Why would you fall into a rage when somebody's talking about God? You know, that time of the year, you start talking about, you know, you start talking about the fairy man. You start talking about Santa Claus. You know, I know it doesn't exist. And also, when you talk about him, I don't get in a rage with you. I don't get angry with you because you're talking about him. I know he doesn't exist. He's a no man. You know? But I talk to you about God and you get angry, you get full of rage, you know, and hostile. Why would that be if you truly, really did not believe that God is? Because you do know. That's what God says. He says there's no such a thing as an atheist on planet Earth. He says that Everybody, every man, woman and child born into this world knows that God is. How can you possibly, how can you, science, a man said to me the other day, I believe in science. Well, how do you do science? Where do you get knowledge from? Where do you get the knowledge from to do science? And don't tell me books. Where do you get the knowledge to write the books? Where do you get knowledge from in the beginning, I mean? Where does knowledge come from? Where does life come from? It doesn't come out of matter. The beginning of wisdom and knowledge. All the treasure of which wisdom and knowledge are in Jesus Christ, because God has revealed knowledge to us. That's why we're able to do science and many, many other things. Now, you know that God is just as much just the same as I do. Everybody does. God says in his word, he says the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. You hold down the truth and the knowledge of God in wickedness. You suppress it because of your sinful nature. You don't want to be a God. Happy in your sin, deeds are evil, won't come to God, won't come to the light. Because of those sinful natures, we suppress the truth in unrighteousness. But he goes on to say, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it unto them. He's shown it to you, and he's put it in you, an innate knowledge of your Maker, of your Creator. You know that he is, you know that God is, and you even know, he says, that you're accountable, that you're a moral creature who is accountable to God. So away with the excuses, because you have none, says God. You have no excuse for not knowing him, for not agreeing with him, and for not walking with him. But can two walk together except to be agreed? Impossible. Your mindset, your worldview has to be changed. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man is thinking. The whole thinking process, the whole mindset has to be changed. That's what the Bible means by repentance. There has to be a change of worldview. You have to see, you have to come to an understanding of reality. That is that you know God. That is that you have the knowledge of God in you. And that is that you start suppressing that knowledge, holding it down in wickedness, in unrighteousness, acknowledging the being of God, and acknowledging the reality, you know, that you weren't put here just to do your own thing, that you weren't put here, you know, for the world to revolve around you and everybody else in it. No, the very opposite, that you are put here for God's glory, to please him and to walk with him. But you can't do that. You can't walk with him until you agree with him. So there has to be a change of mind. There has to be repentance. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish, says Jesus. God now commanded all men everywhere to repent. Repent ye and believe the gospel, says Jesus. Why? Because the kingdom of God's at hand, and that's the only way that you can enter into it. In order for there to be an agreement between you and God, and you to walk with God, there has to be a change on your part, your side. God's unchangeable. I am the Lord, I change not. He's not going to change. He doesn't have to change, because he's holy and righteous altogether, and he always is and always will be. The problem, the fault lies with us, lies with you. There has to be a change on your part. There has to be repentance. There has to be a turning. Let the wicked forsake his way. That's his lifestyle. And the unrighteous man, his thoughts, his thinking. It's the wrong thinking.
Hallelujah.
About God, about the world,
hallelujah,
about the Bible,
hallelujah,
about his son Jesus Christ, and about your sin, about your condition, and about your eternal destiny. There has to be a change in mindset, a change of mind. Cataclysmic, I tell you, within earthquake proportions. There has to be a change of mind in order for there to be a change of the lifestyle. But when your thinking's wrong, when the thinking's wrong, everything else is wrong in your life. Get the thinking right, you begin to align your thoughts with God's thoughts. That is, follow what He says in His Word, the Bible, that He's revealed to us. You begin to align your thoughts with God's thoughts, and you find even your lifestyle changing. That's why it's wrong. Because men, you see, don't agree. They disagree with God. God says, you shall have no other gods before me. So what do men do? They go about inventing religions. In the beginning, God made men upright, the Bible says, but they sought out many inventions. You invent religions. You invent gods of your own imagination and follow them. That's why you've got today, that's why you've got 9,900 religions in your world today. Because men go about inventing religions. Men like Muhammad, like the popes of Rome, Buddha, Confucius, invent gods. You disagree with God. You shall have no other gods before me. And then, of course, you've got other commandments, you know. You shall not kill. You shall not kill. But what does man do? He's never happy unless he's killing. Always killing. Can two walk together except they be agreed? How can you walk with God and God walk with you as long as you're killing one another? When God says, thou shalt not kill. Huh? They that hate me, says God, love death. Is that not writ large all over your society today? Killing the unborn? Millions since the day that abortion was legalized in this country, something like 12 million unborn children slaughtered in the name of abortion. Killing. How can you walk with God while you agree with that killing? While you submit to it, subscribe to it? And what about the other end of the spectrum? What about what about the euthanasia, as they call it? The word actually means a good death. How can you have a good death outside of Jesus Christ? That's not possible. Because your death leads to judgment then. Now, euthanasia, you know, killing the terminally ill. And, everybody else out there, you know, that they can't. End of life healthcare, they call it. Killing people. Thou shalt not kill. But as long as you disagree with God, as long as you go on killing one another, whether it's abortion, whether it's euthanasia, or whether it's drugs and violence in between, you can't walk with God unless you agree with Him. But you see, you can't be subject to the law of God because of those sinful natures that you have. Out of those sinful natures comes a love for sin, and so therefore you disagree with God. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery. That's not just cheating on your spouse. It's more than that. That's every form of sexual immorality, every form of sexual deviance that you've come up with in this your modern age. God hates it. It's an abomination to Him. So how can you possibly, as long as there's this alienation between you and God, not subject to His law, not agreeing with His law, how can there possibly be reconciliation? How can you possibly get right with God? Unless you begin to agree with Him. But that's what repentance means. Repentance is a change of mind. You see, I'm wrong and God's right. You see, I've got it wrong. I've got it wrong right from day one. Right from my mother's womb. I've got it wrong all my days until this time. And I need to change my mind. And I need to agree with God. Then God can walk with you. Then you can walk with God. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Not possible. There's a divide, there's a breach, there's a separation between you and your maker. And it has to be healed, it has to be breached, and that's not something you can do. You don't even have the desire. You don't even have the will to seek after him. He bids you to. He says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. He will show mercy, abundantly pardon. But will you seek him? Unless he gives it to you through the preaching of the gospel, that's how he does it. But that separation, my friends, that separation, God has provided the means by which you can agree with God, you can walk with God. But like I say, with that sinful nature, you come into the world loving your sin, loving your iniquity, wallowing in it, suppressing, holding down the truth in unrighteousness, denying the very existence of God, denying the existence of your sin, and denying, of course, well, you know, the fact that God has sent his Son Jesus Christ into the world in order that you might be reconciled to God. God's gift to the world, his Son. And what does the world do to a man, to a woman? Every single one of us. He's not fit to live. Crucify him. Away with him. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Yes, you were. We were all there. Every single one of us. It was our sins that drove the nails into his hands and feet. Oh. But God, you see, God in his infinite wisdom and power uses that. That's the very need. That's what God intended. That his Son be crucified, be nailed to that cross, shed his precious blood, because that's the very means that God uses to bring about the reconciliation, to end the separation, to bring sinners back to God when they believe, when they trust it. Not works of their own. No good in man, no good in you. Oh, you say, I'm a good person. You say, I'm okay. You say, I don't need this. Yes, you do. There's none good, says God. And there's none that doeth good. Not one. No, something you can't do. Impotent, powerless, in our sinful separation from God, from our Maker. Powerless. Powerless to lift a finger. Not even the desire, not even the will to be saved. God must give it to you. Give it all to you. It's all given. It's not work. That's man's religion. You go to the religion and they tell you do this and do that and you get right with God. You go to Muhammad's crew. They tell you, oh, do what we tell you and you'll be okay. You go to the Pope of Rome. He'll tell you the same. Do, 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 do. It's all about doing. You cannot be justified. You cannot be made right with God by your doing. God says so. It's by faith and faith alone. It's by trusting in. It's resting in. It's believing in. It's confiding in another person, Jesus, God's Son, and what he has done. He's done it all. There's nothing for you to do. One man in the Bible posed the question in alarm and distress. A call that I'd love to hear from your voices. What must I do to be saved, he cried. The answer was given to him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's the answer. Believing. Only believing. Believing. No works of yours. No efforts of yours. Because everything about you and everything about anything that you would do, anything that you would bring to God, you know, that you might think would be acceptable to him, is tainted with sin. Everything about us, everything we are, our being, and all our works are sinful and unacceptable to God. There's only one sacrifice that's acceptable to him. And that's the sacrifice his own Son, Jesus Christ, made on that cross. You believe in him and you get salvation. Whoever believes in Jesus, there's no condemnation. It's taken away. Taken away on his cross, taken away by his blood. Reconciled to God, an end of the separation between you and your Maker. So, the question, can two walk together except to be agreed. Not unless you repent. Not unless you turn. Not unless you change your mind. Not unless you change your mindset. Not unless you change your worldview. Not unless you come to that place of seeing it's you that's wrong and God that's right. Until you see, until you recognize that God, in the greatness of His mercy and kindness, has provided us with what we don't deserve. A way out of the mess of sin, a way out of the death incarnate, a way to life eternal, and a way by which we can walk with God in time, not just in time, but in eternity. Separation now from God. But when death comes, when you breathe your last and go out of this world, something you never think about. Why? Because you don't want to think about it. Huh? Death plagues everything. You live in a valley of death. Death plagues your world because of sin. But you don't want to think about that. You don't like to think about that. You've only got the one life, and so you cling to it with everything that you've got. But that life's going to come to an end. You're going to breathe your last. It's appointed unto man once to die. It's marked on God's calendar. The very day, the very moment when you will breathe your last and go out of this world, and then you stand before Him in judgment. Death, my friends, is a reality. But would that you would think, would that you would think. Think upon your eternal destiny, because death is not the end. That's the mistake, I tell you, that the suicidals make. They think, oh, they're going to bring all the misery to an end. No, they're just going to increase it. That's all they're going to do. Because death is not the end. There's an eternity that lies before you, either walking with God or walking through the fires of hell. Judgment. Sin is a reality. Judgment's a reality. God's even judging the world now, your society now. Every calamity, the pestilence, the wars, whether it's Ukraine, whether it's in Iraq, doesn't matter where it is. All these calamities, catastrophes, tsunamis and earthquakes, evidences of God's judgment upon a sinful human race that rejects and denies the existence of God and that rejects the salvation of God. But whosoever believes shall not perish but have everlasting life. No condemnation for those who believe, truly believe, absolutely believe, take hold of Jesus, the person of the Son of God, revealed to us in God's holy word, that Jesus, not the Jesus of Islam, not the Jesus of Rome, the Jesus of the Bible, I mean. You take Him by faith, you take Him and you make Him your own by faith, and you get salvation. And the condemnation is taken away immediately. His blood atones. His blood will deal with your sin. There's life in the blood, eternal life. My sheep, they hear my voice, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. But the goats don't hear His voice. The goats are stone deaf. They don't hear the voice of God. All they hear is the voice of a man, a preacher in the market square in Hanley. But my sheep, says Jesus, they hear more than just the voice of a preacher. They hear my voice in the gospel being preached. And they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Whose voice are you hearing? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, can two walk together except to be agreed? Not possible. You wouldn't walk with somebody you disagreed with, would you? So, the reconciliation has been made. God was in Christ, the Bible says, reconciling the world to himself. Get it? God was in Christ. Jesus Christ, not just a man, that, but more than that, God manifest in the flesh. The Son of Man, the Son of God. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. The job was too big for just a man. The job was too big for another prophet, another Moses. God himself had to come down and make that reconciliation. The job's too big. I mean, what would it take? What kind of power would it take to get you out of your sin? Get you out of your sinful nature? What kind of power would it take to turn around a ship like the Titanic? I don't know, I'm not an engineer, but it would take awesome power. But what kind of power would it take to turn you who have got sin in your DNA, to turn you round from it, to turn you out of it, to turn you to hate sin, love God, and stop hating God? What kind of power would it take to do that? I tell you, almighty power, the power of God. But God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. So that men, through Jesus Christ, through the Son of God, that they might receive the reconciliation. God, in Christ, who knew no sin, says the Bible, no sin in him, no iniquity found in him, the spotless Lamb of God. He was made sin. That is, he died on that cross, and the sins of the world were laid upon him. He who knew no sin was made sin in order that men and women might be made the righteousness of God in him, in Christ, that is. And then and only then able to walk with God, agreeable to God. But until you're in Christ, until you're reconciled through Christ, you'll never be agreeable to God, and therefore he cannot walk with you, and you cannot walk with him. Until you're in Christ, until you're believing in Christ, until you make Christ your own by faith, until you believe in Christ, the condemnation remains, the separation remains, the disagreeance remains. You cannot walk with God unless you agree with him. But that reconciliation has been made. That reconciliation, the work has been done. But by Jesus Christ and no other, Muhammad can't do that for you. Muhammad never died for anybody's sins. He's just an imposter. An imposter who invented an atrocious, abominable religion. He never died for sinners. Only one person ever did that. Only one person could do that, the sinless Son of God. His being sinless, his being without sin, qualified him to be a Savior, to make reconciliation for sinners like you and I. Jesus, only Jesus. If you can believe, he says everything is possible to him who believes. Believing in Jesus, that is, and he alone and no other. Oh, others will tell you, it doesn't matter what religion you believe. Doesn't matter what you subscribe to. Oh, they're all the same at the end. They all lead to the same God. No, they don't. If you can believe in me, says Jesus, Christ alone, no other Savior, no other mediator, no other who died for sinners, no other who shed his blood on that cross, no other who made reconciliation, only in Christ Jesus. He came into the world to save sinners. Muhammad came into the world to live and die and go to hell just like billions of other people in this world. Nothing and nobody. Jesus Christ came into the world. He was given the name Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. Job, the task given to the Son of God, to beg for anybody else. So it's him and him alone you must believe in. His death and his resurrection, his atoning blood spilled for sinners that they might be reconciled to God and that the breach, the separation might be healed. And only Jesus can reconcile you to God. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Not possible. Not possible. Unless you agree with God and God's provision. You can't walk with him and he with you. He's made the provision. He's gone to the phenomenal cost, task of sending his son into the world in the likeness of sinful flesh, but without sin. And that specifically in the mercy of God to go to that cross and die and take the punishment due to you for your wickedness, for your alienation from God, to heal it. God's gone to that length in order that you might be reconciled to God. How think you? How think you? You say to yourself, oh no, I can go my own way. Thank you very much. How think you can walk with God? How think you can be reconciled to God? If you say in your mind, well, you know, I've got my own way, thanks very much. I've got my own religion, thanks very much. I've got the religion I was brought up with. Well, let me ask you, the religion you are brought up with, what you believe, is it saving you? Has it taken away your sin? Has it given you the assurance of an endless life? Has it given you immortality of soul? Has it given you an assurance of heaven? Have you got eternal life in your soul? Because if it hasn't, may I suggest to you that you get rid of your religion, whatever variety it is? Because as I look at your world religions, I can't see them doing much good. I can't see them bringing much peace. I can't see them making men better. I talk to men and women who embrace these world religions, you know, and they'll fight to the death over them, you know. And I say to them, yeah, well, what's it done for your lust? Has it taken the filthy lust out of your heart? Has it taken the uncleanness and defilement out of your mind? Of course, I get no response to that. It doesn't do anything for them. It's just dead religion. It's corrupt, it's defiled, it's putrid. It's unsaving. It doesn't reconcile to God. Only Jesus does that. Whoever believes in Jesus, there's no condemnation. It's gone. I did not come to judge. I did not come to condemn, says Jesus. I came to save. And that's what he does. You believe in him, he'll save you. You make him your own. By faith, he'll save you. If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Believe in the Son of God and get reconciliation. It's in him, it's in Jesus. He's appointed, authorized, given the power to do that. To reconcile, I tell you, the worst of sinners, the worst of them. To bring them back to God from the dark path of sin. And oh, it's a dark, dark path, is it not? Oh, the misery of sin. Men and women I come across day after day, sought with drug abuse, out of their minds, out of their minds gone, broken in body, mind, and soul. That's what sin does. And you love it? You love your sin? And that's what it does to men and women. Immorality, disease of the mind and disease of the body. Pagan idolatry. Heathen idolatrous religion. You got an idea? You got a clue as to what it does to men and women? And what about your religion of evolution? You ever looked into the life of that fool Darwin? He was a nutcase. A nutcase. He was diseased in his mind, and he was diseased in his body. He was a broken man, and yet you follow him like fools, just like himself. And then you got that other philosopher, the one called Nietzsche. God is dead. He coined the phrase. He says God is dead. He spent the second half of his life in a mental institution. He was deranged. These are the people whose philosophies that you follow after, you chase after, you believe. And it keeps you alienated from God. Keeps you separated from Him and from all goodness, from life and immortality, salvation, eternal life, forgiveness. Will keep you out of heaven unless you believe. Unless you believe in Jesus. Can two walk together except they be agreed? You have to agree with Jesus first of all. That's the point you got to come to. That's the point trying to get you to. You must believe, not do. Not do. All you're doing's wrong. All you're doing's bad. All you're doing's evil. Believing. You must believe. Believe on Jesus. Whosoever believes in Jesus gets life. Gets salvation. No condemnation. Reconciliation. Reconciled to God. Friends with God. Agreeing with God. Walking together with God through the rest of your life and then for all eternity. What can two walk together except to be agreed? Impossible. As long as you're loggerheads with God, as long as you're in disagreement with what God has revealed in His Word, the Bible, as long as you're in disagreement with Jesus and what He has accomplished, alienated, separated from God now, and one day for all eternity, with no way back to God then. Too late then. Many in hell today who heard the gospel. Many in hell today, smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever, says the Bible. Many, many, many souls who heard the gospel. The things that you are hearing today, oh, I tell you, weeping, howling, torment, forever and ever. How they would love to be back here and hearing what you're hearing today. Their response wouldn't be such as yours is. So separation, reconciliation, but the terms of agreement, God sets the terms, not you. God is sovereign, God is God. God chooses whom He saves. Not everybody. Oh, not everybody. Not by a stretch. Fires of hell are fueled every day. Every day. Never short of fuel. That's why the smoke of the torment rises up forever and ever. No, God sets the term. I did not choose you. You did not choose me, rather. Jesus said to His disciples, I chose you. Jesus is the one who does the choosing. And He's the one who sets the terms of agreement. Can two walk together except to be agreed? No, they can't. But Jesus sets the terms. And the terms are quite clear. Clear. Repeated over and over again in the Bible. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. God now commanded all men everywhere to repent. Terms are set, solid and concrete, written in stone if you like, in the Bible. Get a copy, I'll give you one. Read for yourself and see. See the terms. Terms and condition apply. How often do you hear that phrase? Today, terms and conditions apply. Well, they do, and God has set the terms. God loved the world, His creation, and sent His Son Jesus into it to die on a cross and rise again from the dead, that whosoever believeth should not perish but have everlasting life. Those are the terms. I can't change them, neither can you. People meddle with the Bible, people meddle with God's word, they twist it, they corrupt it, all they seek to do, they turn it into an industry, don't you know? You know? The health, wealth, and prosperity merchants, you know? Just hold up your credit card and I'll bless you, and God will give you prosperity, health, and wealth forever. Damnable heresy. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, save you from sin and death and hell, save you from danger, real, known danger. That's what he came for. And he says the terms. He says the terms. You repent, you turn from your sin, forsake your sin, abandon self, forsake everything, unless you forsake everything, says Jesus, including yourself, you cannot be my disciple. You have to give it all up. But do keep in mind that whatever he gives you is worth much, much more than anything you've got, anything that you might forsake. Everything has to go. Everything. Forsake all. Forsake father, mother, siblings. Forsake all. There's a cost. There's a cost involved. And Jesus would have you count the cost in order to be his, in order to walk with him, agree with him. Everything yourself has to be forsaken. Then you can be a disciple. That is, should you repent, that is, should you turn, abandon your sin and your sinful life and your sinful mindset, and take hold of God's word and agree with him, his every word, and believe. Believe the promise, because that's what the Bible is. Beginning to end, it's a promise. It's a promise from God. It's a promise of salvation. That puts it in a nutshell. Yep. It's a promise from God. Here's my son, he says. You believe in him. You trust in him. You put your full, absolute confidence in my son, Jesus Christ, and I give you salvation. Then we both agree, and then we can both walk together. But until you do, God can't walk with you. God has no desire to walk with you. God won't be seen dead walking with you, as you are now. But if you turn, if you begin to disagree with yourself, and begin to agree with God, and accept and receive his promise of salvation through his son Jesus, then he'll agree with you. Then he'll agree to walk with you through the rest of your life. He'll be a God to you, a father to you, and you'll be his child, never to be separated from him, not in time or in eternity. His love, never to be separated from his love, his kindness, his mercy again. But until then, all you've got is sin, all you've got is the mess, all you've got is the death that sin brought into the world. That's all this world is. It's just a valley of death. Death impinges upon everything. Your entire being. Your existence. And all you're doing, your business, your work, your pleasure, your leisure, death hangs over you like a pall. Yeah. And there's only one answer to death that I know of, and that's life. And that's what the gospel sets before you. That's what Jesus Christ sets before you this afternoon. Life from the dead. Here you are, dead in your trespasses and sins. Yeah? Resurrection, not religion. Regeneration, not religion. You must be born again, says Jesus. Life from the dead. life eternal, immortal, an immortal soul. One day you die, you go out of this world, you breathe your last. That's not the end. All eternity lies before you. An eternity in heaven or an eternity in hell. Which will it be? A heavenly mansion or a hellish hovel? One or the other. Only two destinies marked in the Bible. Heaven or hell. Which will it be for you? As long as you disagree with God, as long as you're separated by your iniquities, as long as you're alienated from your Maker, your destiny is down, southward, hell, damnation, everlasting damnation. Believe me, believe God's word, there is something to be saved from. This is not the worst by any stretch. Not at all. You need to be saved, Hanley. And only Jesus can save you. Only He can lift the condemnation from off you. Only He can reconcile you to God by His blood shed on the cross. Only He can justify you, make you right with God by His resurrection from the dead. But He does that. He's doing that. All over the world today, He's doing that. Sinners are being brought to be reconciled to God by the death of God's Son. They abandon their religion. I tell you, in the nation of Iran, men and women are throwing their Qurans in the rubbish heap. They're sick and fed up of it. And the gospel, the good news of God's salvation, is going into Iran. And men and women are finding salvation, are finding eternal life. Abandon your religion. Abandon your sin. Abandon your folly. Abandon, forsake your alienation from God and get right with God. For time and eternity, believe in Jesus. Whosoever believes in Jesus, no condemnation, none at all. All gone, forgiven, pardoned, right with God, justified freely by His grace. Take Jesus. Came to His own, but His own received Him not. But to them that did receive Him, to those that believed on His name, He gave the right, the authority, the power to become children of God. Take Jesus. Receive Him. Believe in Him. Make Him your own by faith, and you will be saved. He says, repent ye and believe the gospel. Why? Because the kingdom of God's at hand, and that's the only way you enter God's kingdom. In the way of repentance, faith towards Jesus, Son of God. Repent ye and believe the gospel, Hanley. Repent ye. Repent ye and believe the gospel. You'd like to have a copy of God's written word freely offered to you. No cost, no obligation to you. You'd like one. Come and ask for one. Gladly place into your hands. But may God have mercy, Hanley, upon your precious, never dying soul.